Johnny Faith, and you are now tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is CJ Sway, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is Perry, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
Hey, this is Kula Von Seal, also known as Queen Kong, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live. Come get some, baby.
The feeling, yeah. All right, welcome to Life That Does Live with your boy, Ceddie J, and your girl.
Hey, Seduction.
Hey, 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 everyone. Yes, we decided to warm it up with a nice little music break to start the show off. Get you guys nice and revved up for a good show. Another beautiful hump day after dusk Wednesday. And today's show is a very special show. It's a special. You know, we're using the word special a lot today. But yes, it is the Richardson Foundation Takeover. Today's show will be highlighting all the great stuff about the Richardson Foundation, some of the projects coming up, and, of course, getting the background of what actually started. So, you know, throughout the show, we'll be giving you all those different pieces. And, yeah, man, just having discussion, general discussion on some of the things that actually started the group, and just having a discussion about those topics that has sprung up, the reason why it started. So I will go ahead and go to Nay, because Nay is the brainchild behind the Richardson Foundation. So Nay, first off, you know, I know we've like talked about it in brief moments on other shows, but since this is now a show where we get to talk about it solely, I wanted you first off tell everyone, you know, what made you start the Richardson Foundation, and why now? Why is now the time to finally release it?
Well, the reason why I started the Richardson Foundation is because I lost my father due to violence when I was 10 months old. My dad was only 19 when he passed away. And he was dating this girl, and the girl set him up to be killed. He died of smoke inhalation. He wasn't shot or anything like that. He died of smoke inhalation. So growing up, I grew up without a father. And it's very important for a little girl to grow up with a father, because there's some things that a father can teach his daughter that a mother can't teach his daughter. And vice versa, some things that a mother can teach a son, or a father can teach a son, that a mother can't or a father can't. So it's very important that you have both parents in your life. Also, I've been seeing that a lot of people are getting killed. A lot of fathers are losing their lives and leaving behind these kids that a mother has to raise on her own. And, you know, it's getting quite ridiculous. It's unfortunate that these kids have to relive the experience that I had growing up, as far as growing up without a father. Not because the father didn't want to be there, because, of course, my father wanted to be there. My father was at the hospital when I was born. So, therefore, you're not giving these fathers a chance to be a father. You're taking that chance away from them. And not only does it hurt the mother, it have a bigger toll on that child. So that's why I started the Richardson Foundation. It's in love and memory of Robert Richardson, and that's my father. That's why it's called the Richardson Foundation, because I carry on his legacy. I have his last name. So that's why.
All right, so I wanted to, like, share, before we get into other parts of it, too, because it's you know, that was the reason why I started, but there's so much more that your nonprofit is set to do. And, you know, of course we get into that as well too. But I wanted to like share stuff from my point of view, like how I even got word on everything for it. So one thing I can say is that's as crazy as like forever, like, you know, we joke around this show a whole lot. And you know, Nate, you know, we talk some crazy stuff on here, and then you know, it, like whether it be serious topics or some topics just being goofy, we talk about a whole lot. But I would say this: like, at the end of the day, we'll both love people, doing good, and seeing her start, you know, seeing her talk about this for a while. She didn't quite go all into it for a while. Like, she just kind of said she was starting a nonprofit. She never told us what it was specifically, but it led to this. And I remember, Nate, the crazy, like, so just let you know into my brain, my thought process of how, you know, when you got me involved, it was crazy. So, like, one of the first things I did with the foundation, Nate gave me a logo. She gave me a picture, gave me two pictures. There's a picture of her, and you were how old in that picture again, Nate?
I was about 3 years old.
So you got Nate. She was 3 years old in the picture, and in the other picture, you had her father. She handed me these pictures. You know, they were really old pictures. And some people are like, oh no, I don't know if I can do anything in these pictures, man. It's gonna be hard. I didn't say that. I was like, okay, I'll make something happen. And you know, all I could think of, it wasn't really the rest of the logo that was necessarily the problem. All I wanted to make sure was, how can I make sure I involve these pictures and make sure that you are drawn to them and bring just the most greatness to the light of encapsulating everything. And so, end up putting the pictures onto there. It's like, oh, we can make the logo seem more like a locket of sorts. And so that kind of was what it was. And then I thought about color. It's like, let's add a little bit of color in there. Colors that tend to draw kids, you know, that usually are very neutral when it comes to like kids and whatnot. And so did that. And that was crazy. But then she came back and she was like, oh, I want you to design the website. And so designed the website. And those two things alone, before I even go into the other projects she's had me do for it, it was just crazy because, again, you know, as y'all hear me talk about a lot on here, Nay just continues to evolve, and she becomes more and more of being in touch with who she is, and she becomes much more powerful. And that's all. And you know, I'm just very blessed. I get to watch this every day, watch this unfold. And I think, in my eyes, I think that you start a nonprofit, what it ended up doing was, it even opened up you being who you are even more. And I've seen a different light in you since you started. It seems like, you know, you're even more focused than ever, and you're much more excited than ever. Because now you're doing something that, you know, is able to give back to someone who you can't quite see all the time, but this is a product for them. So I say I'm very thankful to be able to watch this, man. This is just beautiful. So yeah, I thank you for, you know, allow me to be part of the design process with so much stuff. Because you could have picked anybody, but you picked me, and I'm very blessed that you decided to do that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for wanting to be included, you
a lot of people say they support you, but when it's time to support you, where is that support that you need?
Exactly. That's what the radio, and that's what it goes into today's show. A wide takeover. Why y'all can just do a segment on it? I mean, that's cool, y'all. That's, I mean, yes, we could just, yeah, we could have just done the segment, yeah. But I feel this. There really is so much to talk about. That we could do a whole show on talking about the foundation, and I think, you know, I don't think a segment is enough to kind of, you know, allow people to understand our stuff coming up with it, and then also just kind of get the background story. And you think about a lot of times it's like mini documentaries that kind of draw people in. Okay, that's what they're doing. I'll get it. And yeah, again, you're really trying to do some good work out here. And so, yeah, again, you know, I would try to use the gifts that I have to try to support my friends and what they're doing. And so wherever gifts I have, I use those gifts to give back. And, you know, it's a blessing to use this platform to be able to give back to bring light to the Richland Foundation. So, yeah, I see no other way but to have done the whole show showing love for that. But
absolutely. And I know my father is very grateful that you are doing this. So, yeah.
So I want to go into the next part because, you know, we talked about the inspiration of what started with Richardson Foundation, which, by the way, you know, I will be repeating this throughout this on the show. To be able to get more information on the Richardson Foundation and contacting for more, you know, how you can donate to some of the projects coming up, you can go to therichardsonfoundation.net. It is spelled exactly how you know that Richardson is commonly spelled, is the RichardsonFoundation.net. And go there. You can be able to get quick bio and then also information on how you can contact them to donate as well. But okay, so some of the other things I've noticed that why you start with the purpose of the foundation was that it's to help with young girls and women who are raised from ages 0 through 25, who have lost their fathers due to violence previously or currently in foster care, been sexually abused, or suffer from domestic violence. Now, what made you decide? Because you alone, I mean, I think just alone the fathers due to losing fathers to domestic violence, being losing fathers to violence alone was already a big scope to focus on. But what made you decide to, you know, focus on those other areas?
The reason focusing on the other areas, such as, you know, being in foster care or who are previously in foster care, I have been in and out of foster care from, I believe, the age of 8 all the way into my child 16. I got out of foster care 3 months before my 17th birthday. And just to put it out there, that doesn't mean my mother was a bad parent. It just means she made some mistakes parenting because you don't get a handbook on how to be a parent. You have to learn as you go. And then as far as not having my father and my mother not having her child's father to help her raise that child took a toll on parenting as well. So now that I'm an adult, yeah, I'm not making excuses for my parents, you know, for my mother, but I can, based on her childhood, and her trying to raise a child at the age of 14, because my mom had me when she was 14 years old, she was still a baby herself. And there's some things that she didn't know.
And my mother, like I said, it's always important for you to have both parents growing up, your mother and your father. The difference between my mother and I, she had her father growing up, but she didn't have her mother growing up. Her mother gave her away when she was a baby. So she grew up with her father. Yeah, her father was married, but her stepmother wasn't the best stepmother. I don't even consider her as my step-grandmother because she's evil, but that's another topic. So, yes, I've been in and out of foster care. Luckily, I was blessed to have a great foster mother my last time being in foster care. She actually reached out to me the other day. That was quite surprising. You know, we got to speak, and she treated me like I'm her daughter. Like, that's my second mom. I'm blessed to have two mothers. So it's amazing to have two mothers. She still loves me. I love her. But, yeah, some people are not blessed and fortunate to have a great foster home. Some parents are, you know, some kids are dying in foster care. Some foster homes are raping children, and it says some kids are committing suicide in foster care. So I feel like me, who, you know, a person who was previously in foster care and who experienced it, because I've been in group homes as well. I was in foster care in Indiana, and I was in foster care in Iowa, because I used to live in a different state as well as a kid. I used to live in Iowa. So I was in foster care in Iowa. In Iowa, I had white foster parents. I don't have any bad memories of those foster parents. They were some good foster parents. They used to take us on trips. They had, you know, this RV where we used to go camping. We used to go to church and stuff like that. So it wasn't bad memories at that foster home. They just didn't know how to cook. I'm going to just say that. No, I don't even remember their names. I just know they
Is that why you don't know how to cook?
I know how to cook. Hold on. I know how to cook. But, yeah, so I want to be there for kids who are in foster care because you never know what they may be going through mentally, physically, or emotionally. I really take my hat off to my foster mom because when I got to her house when I was 13 years old, I lived with my foster mom for 3 or 4 years. When I got to her house when I was 13, she picked me up from my group home. My caseworker found me a foster home to live at, and I was all over the place. I was really lost as a child because I used to go through counseling. Like, when you're in foster care, they assign you so many people. Like, you got to do a psychological test when you're in foster care. You got to have a therapist when you're in foster care. You got to have some other people, like, it's just a lot in foster care that you got all these people. Like, they try to assign you all these people. Like, you got a foster parent, you got a therapist, you got some other people. It's, you know, it's a lot. And I was going through a lot at, you know, that age in my life. Yes, I had my father's mother growing up my entire life on my dad's side. I did. They were very supportive. My aunts, my dad's sisters, you know, they were very important role in my life. But they lived in Illinois, and when doing foster care in the state, then if somebody's trying to get custody of you in a different state, it's a long process. It's a very long process, I would say. So instead of my grandmother and my aunt getting custody of me, I used to just go to their house. They did a background check. You know, when you're in foster care, the person who wants to see you or be around you, everybody has to have background checks to make sure that person don't have any type of background or record or anything like that.
So it's very important for foster kids to have some person that they can go to and talk to about certain things that they may be going through. It's important to have a best friend in foster care. Like, that's what I want to be for these girls, their best friend, like their mentor. Like, they could just come and talk to me about anything that they went through. Because, you know, that's what I appreciate about my foster mom a lot. I mean, her became very close over the years that I stayed at her home. And I can go and talk to her about things. Like, we can cry together. We can laugh together. Like, when I came on my period, she came on her period. That's how close we was. When I was sick, she got sick. That's how close we were. So I want to create that bond with these young girls, because I may be able to reach them in a way that other people are not able to reach them. And then as far as being sexually abused, they go into, you know, being in foster care. Okay, let me give y'all a little rundown on my life. I used to live in Mesa, Arizona, after we left Gary. I think we left Iowa and moved to Arizona. It was a timeline where we lived in Arizona. When I lived in Arizona, we had a very great life. My mom had sold her house in Gary because she owned a home. We moved to Arizona. It was very nice. The environment was nice. Got some family out there. My mom had an excellent job and everything. And then my mom's stepsister, because like I said, she was raised by her dad. My mom's stepsister wanted to see us for the summer. So we went to Lansing, Illinois for the summer. I kid you not, this is how evil some people are, but I had to learn forgiveness. When my mom came to get us at the end of the summer, my mom's stepsister said that she had custody of us, meaning she was our legal guardian. My mom had no rights, and she did that behind my mother's back. So, I endured a lot of hell living with my mom's stepsister. I got raped. I got molested. I got forced into giving sexual activities that I shouldn't have been doing as a child. So, my mom eventually had got us back. And because I went through those things living with my mom's stepsister, I was physically abused and sexually abused. I was physically abused by my mom's stepsister, like with extension cords and stuff like that. You know, certain things that you should not be doing to a child. You shouldn't beat no child with no extension cords. I don't care. You should not beat no child with no extension cord. That's sick. And I remember a time where I ran away from my grandmother's house, because my grandmother had lived in Illinois as well, my dad's mother. And I cried to her. I kept telling grandma, like, can you just come pick me up? Come pick me up. And I slept to my grandma's house. And I got in trouble for sneaking to my grandma's house. They tried to hang me on the ceiling stand because I slept to my grandma's house. It was all kind of weird kind of shit. Yeah, it was a weird kind of shit that took place. So eventually, you know, my mom had to get a lawyer to get us back. That's how deep it was. My mom had to prove that she was able to care for her children. Even though my mom did not hand over her rights to her stepsister, she put it in the newspaper that my mom had abandoned us. And I remember, like, I'm trying not to get emotional, but I remember times, like, I would sleep early in the morning. I hear my mom knocking on her stepsister's door trying to see us. Like, my mom didn't have nowhere to go. My mom lived all the way in Arizona. We had a life in Arizona. So my mom had to figure out a way, like, she had to drop everything for her children to try to fight for her children and get her children back. I remember times my mom said she was sleeping on porches trying to get us back. knocking on my mom's stepsister door trying to get us back. She went through hell trying to get us back, but she did. It took a very long time for her to get us back, but she eventually did it. She eventually did it somehow, some way. I know she had to get a lawyer. I know when I used to go to school, I used to ask for child protective services. I used to show them bruises on me from my mom's stepsister. And my mom's stepsister would say, well, you got to go home to your mom too. Just tell them that everything is okay. No, I'm not going to tell somebody everything is okay when it's not okay. And that's what's wrong with people. And this lady used to go to church. She still goes to church to this day. And she's still around to this day. But I had to learn forgiveness. I had to learn forgiveness. So that's how that situation occurred. And when I was in foster care, like I said, I had a therapist. They had to try to figure out why my behavior was the way it was. And that's why, because what endured when I lived with my mom's stepsister of being molested and stuff like that, I didn't tell nobody until I was in foster care. My therapist was trying to figure out why my behavior was the way it was. So, yes, that's how that came apart as far as being sexually abused. And then the other part of domestic violence. 2 years ago, I went through domestic violence with a man that I was involved with. And it got dangerous. I could have lost my life. He tried to kill me. He tried to drown me in the shower. So, yeah, it was pretty tough. So that's how that went about.
One thing I wanted to say that, and I would say to touch on too, and this is when I first saw what this is about, is kids that get bullied, man. Because I don't think people understand that, and especially these days, it is so much harder. Because we got cyberbullying now, and these kids are having to deal. You're not, because everyone goes, oh, cyberbullying is corny. It's not a thing. It is a thing. What ends up happening is you go home, and especially if you take all those problems that Nate just talked about. You already, like, people will make fun of the stupid shit. Excuse my French people, keeping the 10,000, but people were making it to where all of a sudden, it's a joke because you're a foster kid. You go to, because you don't know your mom and dad, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like somehow that becomes a joke, not just in school, but then people take these jokes and then put them onto online. And then now people online that don't have any sense or in on the jokes. And it makes it 10 times harder. And for me, also, which I cannot stress, I'm all over the place. Excuse me. But, like, it to me, it just pisses me off. And I said this during the Mother's Day shows, and I say it again during the Father's Day shows. Nothing is more annoying than people who take having their parents and their lives for granted. I don't care if you argue with each other, whatever. Y'all have got to get over this shit. Because every day, man, every day somebody's looking around and they wish they could argue with their parents, but they can't. Because, oh, what, they're not here. They're not here due to violence. They're not here just due to all these different things. And again, nothing's worse than someone to get their life taken away from them when before they intended to, and they don't have a hint of that. It's one thing for you to die from this, natural health causes or whatever, but it really sucks when somebody else takes your life into their hands, and it just completely frustrates me. I watch this every day. I watch it, people just in person, like, y'all just take them for granted. And I think the phrase daddy's little girl or mama's boy, when people try to use that as a way to try to be kind of like disrespectful, I think it's stupid as hell. And I'm like, hell, you can call me whatever. End of the day, I'm blessed to be able to say I have a close relationship with my parents, and I can't take that. I will not take that back for the world, because there's so many people, man. They would die, bruh. Fucking die to be in that kind of position. Especially if you go, like you talking about, Nay lost her father. She wasn't even, we're talking about in single digits, people. Single digits. And I just, like, to me, when you first brought this to my attention, again, like, it just, because I'm like, I started learning more and more the stories of how this all transpired, like, you losing your father. And it's, like, it's scary, man, because sometimes, it's hard, like, these are the things that I think about a lot of times where, you know, people come to me all the time. They're like, Cedric, you haven't had any kids yet? Cedric, you haven't had any kids? Because I want to make sure that I'm just scared. I don't want to, if I have my kid, I want to be able to protect them, and I want to be able to for them to know that I'm going to be here every step of the way. And I know everything can't be magically easy, but I want it to be as easy as possible. I want to try to take out all the drama and everything that's involved. And this scare it, like, honestly, Nate, it scares me. Like, that's one of the things. Now, I'm not saying, like, I'm trying to go rushing, go have a kid with somebody today type of thing. It's not necessarily about me. I just mean, when the time comes to do that, I still, like, that's something that sits in the back of my head. I'm always afraid of this people. Just thought process. You don't know how people think these days. I mean, it's a lot, and it goes to which I jumped forward to the back to school drive. The back to school drive. Like, I'm glad you're doing this, because it's a, you know, to some people they might seem like, oh, it's not really nothing, you know, okay, it's just some little project y'all throwing together. But everything started somewhere. I can take every big project or every foundation you ever thought of, they started somewhere, and it was something that people might have thought was small at some point in time, but ended up getting proven different. McDonald's started as a small thing, was one restaurant of two brothers, and then Ray Kroc and them buying them out. And then, heck, now you got McDonald's everywhere you look at. This radio show was started on something small. Heck, all I was doing was, you know, just using having a platform just to just have real conversations. And guess what? We still do that. But now we have an audience of people that listen to these conversations. And I'm like, end of the day, I'm thankful, man. I'm very thankful to be able to watch this unfold. And I'm pleading with all the people that I know, whether you're a celebrity, not a celebrity, I am pleading with y'all. Even if it's just a dollar, give back to this cause, bro, because there were times where I know some of y'all very people that's listened to this show, you were in a situation where your parents were awkward, you know, they're trying to get all this money together to take you to, you know, be able to just handle everyday things, but then having to try to go and get money to buy all these school supplies and also try to make sure that you look fly. That's a lot of work. And I know, and a lot of people take that for granted of not realizing, heck, the little things being taken care of in life sometimes makes it so much easier on these parents. And it doesn't make these parents, again, like Nate said, different on different subjects, but does not make these parents, I'm sorry, because of that reason. That's that when you're when you think on a village mentality, you take care of your people. When you take care of your people, they grow into nays. They grow into cities. People have looked out for me. I mean, there's parts of my story I've that people will eventually get to know. And you know, heck, I remember one summer, just because it was like, I might have shared some of you guys don't really know too much about, there was one summer where I had like, because the rift between my parents at one point in time, we actually had to stay, you know, we had to go find a place to stay for a little bit, and we ended up staying at the church, one of those homes that the church had, and just stayed there in the summer. And I still remember that, man, like, essentially, you know, we were pretty much staying in this weird house we didn't even know about. And yeah, like, and we had to do that because just, you know, things happen, life happens, and thankfully things eventually got great and so much better, and now, you know, they're doing good with each other again now, and that's everything. But I say this, though, go back to the point of why, which is the current project we're doing right now, the back-to-school drive is put in place because, again, everything had to start somewhere. And Nay really, she's thought of a lot of things. How could she look out for everybody? This is her first thing. And I think it's a very admirable thing to do. And I think, again, it's something simple that we all get behind, whether it be donating money, be donating school supplies, donating your time to go help when the drive happens. Because if you don't get the money or you don't have the – you can't necessarily get supplies, because I understand money is tight. Heck, you might even be one of the people that might need this very stuff. So we understand that. But if you can donate time, donate at least your time. How can I act? Sometimes it's as simple as, how can I help you? It's as simple as sharing a post. Again, like I said earlier, using the gifts you have, find a way you can use your gifts to give back. Don't make an excuse. Like, I don't. You guys, excuse me, Nate. I'm having a moment. Like, I don't fucking like excuses of why you can't support your people. Like, y'all just sit around. If Joe Schmo makes some posts about how ratchet people are, y'all share that a million times. But when it comes to when people are trying to do something serious, we got to pull teeth out of you to get you to do it. This is not just on random. It's not something about sharing a magazine, about sharing a song, about sharing a radio show, sharing something about a career. This is something about giving back to people. So if you can't at least give money or give some kind of supplies to help with this, which, understand that, again, money is tight sometimes, and everybody do things in your power. At least take the time out of your day and share that project. Because the Susan G. Komen's of the world, foundations of the world, they started from like this too. It didn't just happen. It didn't just become Susan G. Komen. Oh, all these people are involved magically overnight. No, And especially these are causes people care about. I guarantee you, at least one, everybody knows a family member that has been through at least one of these issues, at least one of them. I can challenge you on that. You know, no one can tell me otherwise. I'm willing to put money on it that you have a family member that has dealt with at least one of those things. And again, it was simply just asking you to support the drive. It doesn't happen until July, but hey, get a head start, man. And yes, I know some people are like, well, I'm not in Indiana. How can I help? Will my help or even help? Yes, you don't have to be in such and such area in order to help support. Because when we say our community isn't just right up the street. It's when we say our community, it is a global thing. And you don't have to be black in order to understand, to support this. You don't have to be a woman to understand this. You just have to be a human and understand that, okay, this is a great cause. You need to support it. Again, I don't come on here. I talk about other stuff that we do, but I don't ask y'all for nothing else. If it's nothing else you do, I ask that you said, whenever we come bring these products to y'all that is given back to people, I ask, and I'm asking you over and over and over, and I'm going to keep sharing these different posts about it until people like, man, said always sharing this stuff. I am going to continue to share it until y'all get the point. This has got to work. It's got to work. It's got to. And I'm just thankful to be a part of it. And I one of the things I ask God a lot every day is, you know, because we do so much as a radio show, I've always kind of like, you know, I've done stuff with other people's foundations and whatnot and supporting their causes, but it feels great to be able to have a friend who has something that I can go, man, okay, great, we got a cause that the show can tie itself to help directly. And I am so excited. Y'all will continue to see me share. I'm going to get on y'all nerves. And I remember, because I pitched everything, and now though I went into a little daze for a moment there, I still was there. I would say this, like, Nate said something the other day, and I didn't, like, man, you just go to show, man. You do little things. People appreciate the little things in life. And I'm always told that from people. Like, they appreciate, like, so I remember Nate the other day, and I shared a post and said, I wanted to find that exactly. I hate not quoting things as they were. So I'm going to the post. I gotta find it. All right, goodness. Okay, they were not gonna let me be great. I'm scrolling through my notifications. I'm going, let me see if I can find it from last week easier. Nope, I want to make it that easy. Nonetheless, I would paraphrase what I said. Pretty much, Nay was saying she's thankful for good friends and whatnot. And I didn't do that because I wanted her to say that. I wasn't, you know, I just thought, you know, maybe, you know, she'd share it. And but I thought that she was just going to share it, which, hey, that's great. I'm just doing my part of how I can support. And I love that, like, again, like, that's why I've been trying to tell y'all the stuff, like, when y'all come to the show, there's a reason why we've been doing the show for so long. Is because we genuinely love to see each other succeed. And to see something like this come around is a blessing. All I want is people to see. I just want everybody to be put in the right opportunities in life and not continue to be, you know, chastised without having these different opportunities. So that's pretty much what I have to say, Nate. I am going to go back and edit that. Well, Oh, Lord. See, I do, excuse me. I was working out early. It got to me. But, no, yes. I was like, no. But, yes. So, I'm thankful that you involved me in this. And, again, like, I will be myself. I will be having some stuff being sent there, whether it be monetarily or it be actual physical things. I am going to be sending stuff over the next few months leading up to the event. So, yeah, I'm just thankful, man, that you involved me. And I'm thankful that you shared your story, because it's the first time we went deep into it. Like, there's some stuff I didn't even know. I knew that you lost your father to violence, but I never knew the full gist of what happened, and that's just like, wow. And I didn't, and until this day, honestly, because of what you said, your callers, I knew you went through foster care, but I didn't know the pieces of the puzzle of you going to foster care, so. You know, I would say, man, I'm glad, because here you are, you're getting ready to graduate from college and everything, and you're always a person, you went through all this stuff, and you always going after what you want, and I love that, man. I really love that, and I really be asking myself every day, like, people think it's just corny, and they're like, oh, steady, blah, blah, blah. Being so sappy, but now y'all understand, man. I'm appreciative of small things, and I really sit here and ask myself, like, how the heck did I get the Days of the World of on my side, the Chelsea's of the world, the Nikki's of Nikki Fox's of the world? How the heck did I get them on my side? And I'm thankful, man. Every day, I just ask that every day, man, that I get a good, strong team. And people I just want to be surrounded by people that's doing stuff. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not what you've been through, it's how you get through it. A lot of girls who been in foster care, this is a fact. Like, I would say 70-80% of girls who've been in foster care either lead to prostitution, lead to drugs, lead to stripping. Because I used to be a stripper, I ain't gonna lie. I was a stripper at 18. That's how I got my first apartment. But I didn't get sucked into that lifestyle. It's either you can use being a stripper as a stepping stone to get the things that you need or to make more income. Or you can use it as a downfall and get sucked into drugs and prostitution in the strip club and having sex for money. But I know a lot of girls that I know personally that was in foster care that's not on the right path. It's basically not what you've been through, is how you get through it. And not everybody handles things the same way, like I said. For instance, it's girls who've been in foster care, who strippers, who down bad on drugs, who strung out, committed suicide, and other women like me who are in college. They got kids. They want better for themselves. They're striving for excellence. So we can use it as, like, motivation. And that's what I'm using it as, like what I've been through. It made me who I am today, and it made me want more out of life. It made me want more for myself. And when I spoke to my pocket mom the other day, I told her thank you, because she told me how important it is to get an education. Because this lady is like, she's like 56, 57 years old. And when I met her, she was in college. When I was in foster care with her, she was working a full-time job, a foster parent, and in college. So if she can do it, I can do it. And, you know, she's trying to do all this with kids that are not even hers. And I know this is her calling. The reason why she got into being a foster parent is because her sister used to be on drugs, and she had to get her foster care license to get her nieces and her nephews to live with her. And then when they were able to go back home with their mother, she still kept her foster care license and just continued to help other people that were in foster care and get other foster girls and boys, you know, in her foster home. So that was the reason why she got into foster, being a foster parent. So, yeah, she told me how important it is to get an education. To this, you know, when I told her what I'm about to do and I'm graduating college in December, because I haven't talked to her in a while, but she had called me. So, you know, I was telling her what I got going on. I got the nonprofit organization. And she almost started crying. So she said she's very proud of me. And I told her, thank you for showing me what I need to do. And she told me that I always been smart, because when I was at her house, I was in, even though I was in foster care, I was on that honor roll. I was making good grades in school. So, and she used to say on me about my education. So I thank her for that. I commend her for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, people don't be understanding. Like, we goof around a whole lot on here. But you're so, but they don't realize that there's more. There's so many different sides of you, and I think it's cool for you to be like so goofy and all that, because I, you know, it just shows it's multi layers of you. But then they, when you take something serious, you go in on it.
That's why I'm not in a relationship right now, because I know when I'm in a relationship, I'm in that relationship for real. I love. Hard.
Hello.
Because all the things that I've been through in my life, being in foster care, being raped, being molested, being through domestic violence, not growing up without my father, having a tough relationship with my mother. Like, me and my mom, that's not, like, yeah, that's my mom, but again, that's not my mom, because me and my mom was more like friends. We're more like friends. If you see us on Facebook, you would think we're friends. You wouldn't even think that. People were like, that's your mama? Yeah, that's my mama. We're more like friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're more like friends. So,
Even though your mama thought I was a pastor one day.
Yeah, she really kept calling you pastor. I said, he is not no pastor.
I kept thinking she was for the longest. I thought she was joking around because of my Reverend Phil so good character.
She kept.
She know my Reverend Phil so good character. Oh, okay, but no, she was being for real. She thought
she was
being
serious. She really thought she was a pastor. Like, girl, he is not no pastor.
Well, yeah, I am because I'm. I am about to lay hands on my Facebook.
That's
big. I'm going to say, yes, I do, because I'm about to lay hands on your daughter.
And put some of this
anointing oil on her.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, come here, baby. Come here, Nate. Let me rub some of this anointing on you, baby. Mm-hmm. Let me y'all, because when praises go up, blessings go down.
Now, I had a test in my DMV, so that was the weirdest test.
he said he's gonna lay some hands on you. Let's have one on one Bible study.
I'm trying to take you on a whole date. Like, I don't know. I couldn't date a pastor. Like, that would be so weird being the first lady of a church. No, yeah.
Why be weird? You ever know? By date a pastor. I mean, you thought she here really had you screaming hallelujah then.
Because I did, you know, like, Megan Good, she's dating a pastor. But she's an actress that was different. Like, I'm a model. I don't know. I'm a video bitch. I be in music videos and stuff like that. I wouldn't date a pastor.
Pastor, I saw First Lady, y'all. This is the end of my.
First lady in that music video, yeah, Pastor. Yeah, First Lady was looking right. Nah, she look. I ain't got to you know what? Yeah, I can't. Okay.
Right about my whip. This is the
end of
my.
Yeah, that would be.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that'd be loud. Oh, my God, the visual. I'm just cracking up thinking about it. But, no, man, as serious as y'all make sure y'all go to the RichardsonFoundation.net to be able to contact them as far as how you can donate. And, yes, although this is the takeover show, I will be bothering y'all more. Obviously, y'all should be sharing the post. I want to be friendly reminder. You're going to be doing that in your ear to be ready, especially as we get closer and closer to the date. You're going to see me be more and more annoying. So, yes. Well, yes, Nate.
Of course,
I appreciate
it. Amazing calls. It's amazing. I remember my mom, sometimes she wasn't able to afford school supplies. So, this is the part of the reason why I want to do this. So, you know, you never know who you can bless. Like, it's all about being a blessing. Being a blessing, trying to help the youth, building up our youth, building up our women is very, very important.
Yes. So, Nate, I thank you for allowing us to, I thank you for, you know, letting us be able to do this. Special for you and be able to highlight the brand and just let people know all everything to come up with it, man. So, yes, again, thank you. And I will be coming back to do some editing later on and take some stuff out of here. But yes, man. I'm very thankful for everything that. For all the support that will happen, because Sticky to Existence, I know you are going to support because you're just great people. Cannot wait. Thank you, everybody, in advance. And yeah, baby, we got some more great shows coming up. Memorial Day, it's in limbo for doing the show Memorial Day, so you got to say stay tuned for that. And got some more great interviews coming up. Again, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. And we roll out on the show. It reminds you in everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it. Remember, when there's a J or there's a
Nay, there is a way.
You tune to the episode of Life That Does Live. Your boy, Sunny J, and your girl.
Nay Production.
And we are going to still say, you know, this is the Richardson Foundation Takeover. We're still going to say that this is very important. This is very, because when we say this, this is a very important PSA, and to make sure you take care of yourself. So, Nate, what's the public service announcement we give every hump day?
If you go hump, please do it responsibly. Also, go check out the Richardson Foundation on Instagram. That's at the Richardson Foundation. And on Facebook as well, the Richardson Foundation.
Okay, I'm about to make sure I tag. I was like making that post earlier. I feel like I did not tag it. So I will be going making tagging it. But yes, thank you everybody. Thank you. And support. Y'all need to reach, if y'all forget any of this stuff too, y'all can reach us on my personal pages and we will direct you to those pages as well. Sunny J Dusk and Nay Seduction. You can go to our pages, reach us there, and we will get you to the right place to be able to help. So thank you so much. We're out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
There.